James chapter 1. And for the sake of time, I will not read all of these verses at this point that we'll be dealing with, but I want to encourage you to keep your Bible open, because we will be looking at verses 19 through verse 27, and my thoughts this morning is this: don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here. Father, it's a pleasure. It's a joy to always be here in this church. And Father, we thank you for the people. We thank you, Father, for their prayers. We thank you, Father, for that which they do, and letting their pastor come every week and share and teach the Word of God to these young men. We're so grateful for that. And I pray now that as we just look at the Word of God, you'll speak to our hearts and you'll speak to our lives. And Father, again, as that which has already been prayed, if there's someone here today that does not know Christ as personal Savior, Father, this morning we pray that they would come and they would trust you. And then, Father, I pray for we that are Christians, that you will draw us nearer to you this day. And Father, help us, each one of us, to be a better child of God when we leave this place. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Don't deceive yourself. Many people are deceiving themselves today. We find lost people. They are deceiving themselves in believing that they are saved by whatever, maybe by baptism, maybe by just the Lord's table, maybe by just being in God's house. They deceive themselves that they are a believer. And then many Christians, they are deceiving themselves that they are spiritual. Now, saved, but they are spiritual. They're living a life that is pleasing and that is dedicated to the Lord, and in which they are not. So let's think this morning as we go through this passage of Scripture that I hope will be a blessing to you this morning. Here James is telling us that we have three responsibilities towards the Word of God. Three responsibilities towards the Word of God. The first one I want you to see is found in verses 19 through 21, and is this: our responsibility to receive the Word of God. To receive the Word of God. Notice there in verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Well, let's think about this just for a moment. God's Word, the engrafted Word, the implanted Word of God. We find in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, that the seed is referred to as the Word of God, and the heart in which you and I receive that seed, of course, is our heart. Now, we realize this morning that the Word cannot work in my life, in your life, unless, first of all, that I receive the Word of God. And here it's telling us how that we are to do that. The Bible tells us there in verse 19 that I am to be swift to hear. Now, if we're going to grow as the Bible instructs us, that we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Word of God. If we're going to grow in the Word of God, then we must certainly receive the Word of God. And the Bible tells us that faith is going to come by hearing. Now, in Matthew, you need not turn there. In Matthew chapter 13, we are given four kinds of hearts. We're giving a heart that is hard, a heart that will not receive the Word of God. It talks about a shallow heart where there is no depth whatsoever. And then it talks about a crowded heart where it is full of sin or whatever. And then there is a fruitful heart, the one that is going to receive, accept it, and there will be growth, there will be a root of harvest that is going to take place. So, first of all, I am to be swift to hear the Word of God. Swift to hear the Word of God. And then the Bible tells me there in the very same verse that I am to be slow to speak. In verse 19, slow to speak. You know, it's amazing how God does everything right. He gives us two ears, does he not? And one mouth. You ever thought about that? Now, we could have had two mouths and one ear. God did not do that. God knew exactly what he was doing. And so many times we as Christians, we need to be careful that we are slow to speak. Slow to speak. I think one of the things that damages a church more than anything else is the speech. That which we say and that which we ought not to say and the half-truths that a person would say are totally false that a church or that a people will say. Pastor Jeb, it's been a few years ago now. I do know who said it and who spread it, but they were talking about that I had three women living upstairs in our house. Wow. Now, boy, that surely that had been a lot of help to you, would it not? Three women living upstairs in our house. You know, people spoke, and I'm sure, Jeb, you think that was repeated? I probably think it was, don't you? More than just once. But the thing of it, it's not true. I just have one wife and one dog, and that's plenty, okay? Okay. Especially the one wife, okay? Now, so here, the Bible, if I'm going to receive the Word of God, then the Word of God needs to be swift. We're swift to hear it. And then I'm going to be slow to speak and then slow to wrath. That is to get angry. That is to get mad. I read a sign some years ago, and the sign said this: temper is such a valuable thing, it's a shame to waste it. Now you think about that. Temper is such a valuable thing, it's a shame to waste it. Now, we're to get angry at some things. I'm to be angry at sin, are we not? I mean, there's those things that really ought to disturb us as a believer. We're to be angry at sin. But the Bible tells us there in verse 20, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." That is contrary to God and what he wants in my life and in your life. Well, number one, I am to receive the Word of God. And then notice also in verse 21, I am to have a prepared heart. A prepared heart. Notice in verse 21, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." Isn't that a phrase? You ever thought about that? Have you ever thought? Now, I know Pastor Porter knows exactly what it's talking about. But have you ever thought, what does that phrase mean? Superfluity of naughtiness. The superfluity, of course, means abundance. Then we'll talk about it in a moment. And receive with meekness the engrafted or the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. We are to have a prepared heart. I wonder this morning, how many had a garden this year? Anyone at all? No gardens at all? Has anyone ever planted a garden? Okay, several of you have ever you have planted a garden. Now, I do know one thing, that when you plant a garden, you have to do certain things. Am I right? In order to get that garden and the soil prepared, you got to dig it up. You got to do whatever. Now, we did have a garden, small garden, not very big, but nothing ever grew in it. Nothing. And I think we found out that it was the house that we lived in. There was a home that was built earlier than our home, which was an old home, a historical home. And there was kind of a dump place where they dumped everything, and nothing was going to grow in that garden. And so now we have a garden that is about as big as this pulpit, that has five, that had, I think, did you pull them up? The tomato plants. We had about five tomato plants, and they yielded fairly good. Now, James here is telling us the human heart is like a garden, okay? If left to itself, it will produce only weeds. Now, I do know this, that weeds love to grow. And they'll grow through cement, they'll grow through asphalt, they'll grow through anything. And so if you plant a garden, whether it be peas, corn, tomatoes, or whatever you plant or whatever you like to plant, I know one thing, if you do not take care of that garden, the weeds are going to take over. And it doesn't take very long. I know one time my wife and I, or my, surely my wife, planted the garden, not me. She planted just a garden, and we were to be gone for about 3 weeks out preaching and representing the college. And so we came back. Guess what happened? You couldn't hardly see the plants that we planted. The weeds had taken over and grown over. And so it is true in the human heart. If that heart is not prepared, if that heart is not taken care of, then the weeds is going to take over. And so we must pull the weeds, the sins, out of our heart and receive the Word of God. That superfluity of naughtiness is just simply the sins and the weeds that are in our life that we are to pull, and if we're not careful, our heart will be overgrown with those weeds. Now, the question is this: how do we prepare the soil of our heart for God's Word? I think, first of all, there has to be the confession of sin, 1 John 1:9. That we confess those things that are contrary to God, those things that God is displeased with, that we are to confess those, we're to get those things right. Now, the truth now is that I don't have to wait till Sunday morning to do that. I don't have to wait till Sunday night to do that. I don't have to wait till Wednesday night to do that, in church to do that. I can do that every day of my life, and we ought to do it. When we realize that there's something not right, something wrong right then, whether we're driving or what, wherever we are, right then we are to confess it. And then I think number two, there needs to be the meditation on God's love and God's grace. My goodness, His wonderful love that He sent His Son. the Lord Jesus Christ there to die up on the cross for me, and the grace of God, that love, that salvation has been extended to you and to me. I just think about this meditation is just plowing up the hardness of that soil. When you know, if you don't work that garden, this soil becomes hard, and so you need to work it. You need to work that soil up, and that is in our heart. We need to work it up as well. And then I think the third thing is that we must have an attitude of meekness, an attitude of meekness. Now, meekness is the opposite of wrath. And so we are to have that attitude of meekness in our heart and to our life. And we are to receive the Word of God. We are to accept the Word of God. We're not to argue against the Word of God. And so I have, number one, three responsibilities towards the Word of God. Number one is that I need to receive the Word of God. And then number two, I need to have a prepared heart for the Word of God. And then number three, I need to practice the Word of God. I need to practice the Word of God. Look down in verse 22. But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that perfect law of liberty is the Word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed. I need to practice the Word of God. It's not enough. It's not enough. Now listen carefully. It's not enough just to hear, but I must be a doer of the Word of God. I read this some years ago and I wrote it down, a statement. Too many Christians mark their Bible, but their Bible never marks them. You think about that. Too many Christians, yes, we mark in our Bible, but does the Bible mark us? Well, as I read those verses, several things come at least to my mind that is important, and that is this, that there must be an examination of ourselves with the Word of God. Now, the main purpose of the Word of God is to be a mirror. A mirror. Now, let me ask you a question. How many got up this morning and looked into a mirror? Most of us, am I right? Most of us. Now, when I get up and I look into the mirror, my wife tells me that I look like Frankenstein. Now, if I had beautiful hair like Pastor Jeb, but mine's not like that. Mine, I wake up and it's standing straight up. Really, I mean, it's standing straight up. I have a fight with my pillow every night, and so I have used two or three of those, and most of them are in the floor when I wake up. But my hair is standing straight up, and I look into the mirror, and that mirror tells me I must do something about my hair. I must shave. Well, unless I grow a beard, and I can't do that. You know what? I think I tried one time to grow a mustache, and it, for some reason, it never came out. And so I look into the mirror, and I thought, well, I'm going to be at Open Door this morning. If I'm going to be there, I better at least look presentable. And so I looked into the mirror, and that mirror revealed to me exactly what I look like. Not what I thought I looked like, or not what I hope I would look like, but really what I look like. And so here, as we look into the mirror of the Word of God, we look into the mirror of His Word, that Word reveals to me and to you exactly what we're like. Not what we hope we are like or someday be like. Now, James tells us that there are several mistakes. Here we find they merely glanced at themselves. They merely glanced at themselves. Now this morning when I got up, I could sort of glance and I thought, wow, man, that being straight up, that's kind of cool, you know. Kids, you know, they have it sticking about that straight up and they, you know, that's all right. I don't care about that. But the thing about it is, you know, it just revealed to me what I was like. And so I didn't just halfway look at it. I looked at it and thought, boy, I must do something about that. Now, listen, we need to get into the Word of God and study it. Now, my feeling is this, and I pastored for 38 years, and I'd much rather my people read one chapter a day and understand it than trying to read 5, 6, 7, and 8 chapters and don't even know what they read. Don't even understand what they read. And then the second mistake is this. They forgot what they read or what we would read or what, if as you would look into a mirror, what you would see. Can you just imagine I looked into the mirror this morning and then did something else and forgot about that hair stick, really, I'm serious. It sticks straight up. I mean, it really does. And so if I forgot about that, can you imagine, man, what Pastor Porter would look at me and think, man, something is wrong. I mean, he's getting old and there is some problem sitting in his life. And so they forgot what they see, what they read. You and I need to get into the Word of God deeply and understand the Word of God. And then the third mistake they made was this. They forgot to obey the Word of God. They forgot to obey the Word of God. You know, when we read it, this is God's love letter to me and you. And don't you think this morning that God wants us to obey it? Otherwise, why give us the Word if it's not to obey the Word of God? Now, yes, we enjoy reading, but we ought to be doing as well. We enjoy talking about it, but we ought to be doing the Word of God as well. And then there's that examination. And then something else, there is that restoration of the Word as well. Back in Exodus chapter 38, there Moses, when the tabernacle was built, they took all the looking glasses and all the metal, and from that they made one thing. Remember what it was? The laver. They made the laver. Now, that where the priest, they would come and, you know, the land would be dusty, it would be dirty, and before they went into the holy place in the Holy of Holies, what would they do? They would wash their feet. They would be wearing sandals. They would wash their feet and their hands so that they could go into the holy, into the Holy of Holies. And so I want you to see that the mirror of the Word not only examines and reveals sin to us, but it also helps us to cleanse us from those sin. 1 John 1:9 tells us if we will confess, then that He will forgive. And then something else, there is a transformation. There's a transformation. The Lord wants to change us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. I want you to realize this morning that the Lord wants to change every one of us. every one of us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. Listen, when the child of God looks into the mirror, the Word of God, he sees the Son of God, and he can be transformed by the Spirit of God so that we will share in the glory of God. That word change is an interesting word. How many remember back in maybe third grade? I don't know, maybe even the second grade now, that when we was taught about that ugly worm that turned into a beautiful butterfly, a transformation. And that transformation started from, not from the outside, but it started from the inside. Now listen, when we as believers spend time in the Word of God, we're going to be transformed. We're going to be changed when we get into the Word of God. Well, I want you to note something else at the very close of this, that we need to share the Word. We need to share the Word. Look in verse 26 and 27 of James chapter 1. If any man among you seem to be religious, now I think, Pastor Porter, I was looking the other day, I think that word, as we see it here, religious, maybe only occurs some 4 or 5 times in the New Testament. But notice, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Pure religion, that is simply practicing the Word of God. Practicing the Word of God. Well, how do we practice the Word of God? We do so in speech, we do so in service, and we do so in separation from the world. Note with me there in verse 26 concerning speech. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, if the heart is not right, I'm here to tell you that the speech is not going to be right. If our heart is not right, I don't care who we are, then the speech is not going to be right. A controlled tongue means a controlled heart. Tongue reveals the heart. So pure religion, practicing the Word of God the way we ought to, that means that my speech is going to be right. And then also it means concerning my service. Notice again in verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, practicing is this, to visit the fatherless and widows and their affliction. We must see others and their needs. So often if we're not careful, all we think about is ourselves. I. And we don't think about others around us that have needs in their life and in their heart. So we must see others and their needs. Listen, I'm here to tell you that words are no substitute for the deeds of love. Words are no substitute for the deeds of love. There needs to be service. You know what? When we come into God's house every week, we ought to be looking around and see, you know, how can I be a service this morning? How can I do something this morning? How can I help someone this morning? It may just be a pat on the back. It just may be, you know, a God bless you. It may be, you know, I'm praying for you and really meaning it. How many times have we said, I'm going to pray for you, and you know what? You ever done this? And never prayed for him. I'm sure all of us are guilty, are we not? We're sincere when we say, I'm going to be praying for you, but we never do the deed itself. And so service is very important. And then I want you to see also there and verse 27, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep, now notice this, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Separation from the world. That world doesn't mean our beautiful world in which we live in. I don't care where you go. You can go from, Jeb, where are you from? Oregon?
Born in Portland, Oregon.
I thought it was, see, I did remember some from Oregon or to New Jersey. I know we hear about New Jersey, that it's the armpit of the world. How many has heard that about New Jersey? But yeah, it's beautiful. I don't care where you go, from the coast up to the mountains near New York City. It's absolutely beautiful. Our world is beautiful, but that's not what it's talking about. When it's talking about world, it's talking about a society that is without God. Lost ones in this world. Now, here it tells me that I am to keep myself unspotted from the world. Well, how do I do that? Three things. Very important. First of all, we need to be careful that there is not a friendship to the world. Now, that does not mean that I'm not to know lost people, those that I'm associated with, but I'm not to have this friendship with the world. Our friendship is to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then, if we're not careful, first of all, there's the friendship with the world. And then second of all, there's the love of the world. The love of the world. We need to be very careful about that. And then finally, there is the fact that we will be finally conformed to the world. Let me give an illustration. And it's a perfect illustration of Lot. Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. He chose that. He chose where to pitch his tent. And then the Bible tells us that he moved into Sodom. Okay? And then before long, what do we find out? Sodom moved into him. And all the terrible and disgraceful things that happened into the life of his family, what he was willing to do. He lost everything. He lost everything. And so this morning, let's think about the three responsibilities that we have towards the Word of God. I am to receive it, okay? I am to receive the Word of God. I am to finally practice or have a prepared heart, second of all, and then I am to practice the Word of God. And then last of all, there in verse 27, God help us that our speech will be right, that our service would be, that we would yield ourselves unto service. And then we would be separated from this evil world and society in which we live in. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, as we now come into your presence, and Father, we thank you that we can. We thank you, Father, for the Word of God and what it teaches us. And what it reveals unto us today. Father, I pray that our speech would be correct. Our service, Father, we would yield it to you. And Father, that we would be separated from those things that would be contrary to you. Now, Father, would you speak in every heart, in every life this morning? And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.